Well, just looking at the US over this past week, there's not been a lot in the way of new economic data. We're waiting for a bit more information coming through this week. There's a lot of noise in the US relating to protests, where COVID's picking up again. But the data, for what it was, we had the initial jobless claims for the week. The good news on that is that below a million now a week. Basically, even though you've got resurgences running in various states in COVID-19 infections, they are trying to keep things fairly much open. And the economy is working its way back to normal. And it's picking up, actually, still faster than might be expected. I'll get onto that with the data releases that come this week. We also got no indication that we're getting any inflation coming through yet from the policy prescription. We had producer prices, and also the CPI came out for the month of August. And the annual rates of increase, for example, on the PPI, that's downstream inflation, is minus 0.2% year on year. So, obviously no inflation pulse coming through there yet. And as far as the CPI is concerned, the headline CPI rate is 1.3% year on year, and the core CPI rate is 1.7%. So still, well below the Fed's target and the sorts of measures of inflation the Fed looks at anyway, the price deflators from GDP, and they're running about half the level of the CPI. So a long, long time before inflation starts to pick up, and that's what the Fed's going to be aiming at. We're going to be hearing from the Fed this week too, because we've got the Fed policy meeting coming up midweek, and two things to watch in that one. One is if they make any policy changes at all. I doubt that, because they've got very, very easy monetary conditions now anyway, and their QE has pretty well expanded to the territory where they would like it. They're also still, like the RBA, resistant to pushing their policy rate into negative territory. So they've currently got the Fed funds rate between 0 and 0.25%, and that's where it's likely to stay. But the other area that people are watching are just the indications of interest rates over the next few years. We had the speech from Jerome Powell going back to his talk at Jackson Hole, that huge central bank conference a week or so back. And that was the one that really set the cat amongst the pigeons, where he was saying, look, we're going to be looking at average inflation now over a period. We're going to allow the economy to rip for a period before we even start to think about lifting interest rates. And so, that made it pretty plain to everybody that, we're years away from the Fed starting to lift rates off the back of what's been happening recently. And so it'd be interesting to see the confirmation of that when it comes through in the Fed policy meeting. We'll hear about that early on Thursday morning our time. Other areas of interest this week are some of the data. One of the surprises in the US has been the extraordinary strength of the housing sector as it started to pick up. And this week we get a few more of the housing readings for August and September. The August readings are for housing starts and housing permits. Going back to July, housing starts lifted by 22.6%. That's a month on month. And housing permits, right at the leading edge, were up 17.9% month on month. August readings are expected to be the first ones which show some signs of that starting to cap off. It'll be interesting to see where that happens. So August housing starts are expected to fall by 1.7%. Put that into context. Remember, it was up 22.6 the month before. It'd still be enormously high levels if it comes in around that sort of change. And housing permits are still expected to rise by about 1.8% on top of that 17.9%. So just watching to see whether we've got the beginnings of the capping off in the strength of some of these numbers that are coming through. We get the National Association of Home Builders Index. This is a September reading, and that's a survey of home builders all around the United States. Going back last month, it lifted to 78, almost a record high, and still expected to maintain that for the month of September. That comes out on Wednesday night. So watching that one too. We've also got retail sales coming out for the month of August in the United States. they come out on Wednesday night as well. And yeah, these have been pretty firm. You know, they've been running up. Well, we had some very big rises going back to May and June. It started to taper a bit in July, where we had a 1.2% month-on-month increase. Still expecting another 1% month-on-month increase for the month of August, so still showing a lot of strength coming through from the income support programs, which are still there in the United States. All of this data still looking comparatively firm. We've finished the week with September Michigan consumer sentiment, which is expected to lift a little bit to 75 from 74.1. You know, obviously, markets in the US, risk asset markets, have been very bumpy over the last week or so, led by that part which was most exuberant, which is, you know, sort of investment in tech stocks. And we at one point last week, you know, we had the likes of Tesla, which had a crazy run on any sort of metric, where you had a 10% fall in the value of Tesla stock in one day. We're going to see these lumps and bumps, but the policy prescription still points towards bubbles being inflated rather than being popped. And so, yes, it's going to be, as I say, pretty bumpy. You know, you're going to see after these big falls, people still going to want to get in because of very, very easy policy conditions. China, last week we had both some international trade data and also inflation data. The international trade data is interesting. Somehow, China's still managing to export, even though it's picking fights with just about everybody at the moment. The exports out of China actually accelerated more than expected to 9.5% year-on-year from 7.2% the month before. But we're seeing some signs that domestic spending in China is still languishing. And so, you know, imports are a good proxy for that because most of that stuff, some of it's related, obviously, to industrial production, but some of it's related to high-end consumer goods and all those sorts of things. And imports were expected to rise by 0.1% year-on-year. It actually fell by 2.1% year-on-year. That's actually worse than the month before, where they were minus 1.4%. So there's just a hint there that inside domestic spending in China, things may not be going quite so well. As far as inflation is concerned, it's nothing to, the People's Bank of China is going to take no notice of it anyway for the time being. But you've got a divergence there between producer prices, which are still falling, suggests that CPI is going to come back at some point in the future. So producer prices, minus 2% year on year for the month of August from minus 2.4% the month before. But the CPI was still quite high, 2.4% year on year. It was down from 2.7%, and it's mostly food prices where China's suffering. And the sorts of pressure they're putting on some of their suppliers, including us in Australia, the remarkable part about it is they can't compensate for that from either other suppliers or inside China. So they're almost cutting off their nose to spite their face. And this is going to be another interesting aspect of the way in which China's playing its association with the rest of the world for the time being. This week in China, we get a range of data really on Tuesday. We get things like August fixed asset investment spending, in other words, what they're spending on new projects around towns and cities in China. Industrial production and retail sales. Industrial production being pumped, and so that's still lifting, we think, to 5.1% year-on-year from 4.8%. Retail sales, well, after seeing those imports, the market consensus is plus 0.1% year-on-year. It was minus 1.1% going back to July. I think that plus 0.1% might prove optimistic. I think Chinese people are still very, very cagey about spending more. Quite unlike in the Western world, where retail spending actually lifting quite well. But in China, looks as if that might be languishing. And fixed asset investment spending slowly but surely sort of getting back towards the zero mark. It was minus 1.6% year on year in July. We think it'll be minus 0.4% month of August. Coming to Australia, and some surprises really in some of the data last week. We've probably got more resilience in this economy than is being recognised. So if you looked at standard economic forecasts after that 7% decline in GDP quarter on quarter in Q2, everybody's forecast has another negative for Q3. And the reason for it is largely Victoria going back into lockdown, you know, 25% of the economy being restricted. So that's the main reason, but it's not panning out that way when you look at the data. And so what's really interesting is, you know, last week we had things like ANZ job ads, for example, for the most recent month, up 1.6% after being up 19.1% the month before. We had September Westpac consumer confidence came out, and this one had a huge rise, up 18% month on month, after being down 9.5% the month before. We also had July housing finance, and it's true, the Victorian restrictions didn't come in until towards the end of the month. But housing finance commitments to owner-occupiers rose by 10.7% month on month, the single biggest rise in the history of that survey. Now, these are new housing finance commitments. Yeah, totally unexpected. Investment housing was up by 3.5%. And we've got these signs that, you know, there's a bit of an elastic band in the economy, that those parts of it which are opening up are really starting to motor. Even with the problems in Victoria, it's not overwhelming the rebound which is occurring elsewhere. That's still not the story which is running through official forecasts, where it's all about sort of arguments about borders and it's taking a more negative tone. But to give an indication of how this is still continuing, in August and September, we've had a pullback running through things like auction housing, home loan auctions in Melbourne, for obvious reasons, and they've gone down to very, very low levels. But it couldn't be more different when you're looking at the home loan auctions and clearance rates now in Sydney, where this last weekend they've run above 70% again, and with some good price tension in some of the suburbs too. So it's not what you think it is, and this is the interesting part that's starting to develop here in Australia. I don't think it's going to make any difference to the way in which policy is adjusted. So, you know, the Reserve Bank is still going to be very, very cautious for a long time to come. And, you know, sure, we've got some pullbacks in income support going to the end of September. We could get some lumps and bumps through this, but it's interesting that it's reasonably strong. This week in Australia, we'll get the minutes for the last RBA meeting coming out on Tuesday, so they'll give us some indication of RBA thinking. On Wednesday, we get the ABS version of house prices. Now, they have fallen. So in Q2, the market consensus is that we had a 1% quarter-on-quarter fall in house prices relative to a 1.6% increase going back to Q1. And then on Thursday, we'll get the labour force data. Interesting in the sense that, you know, we've had two good months for employment rises. Going back to July, employment rose by 114,700. In August, you know, bang smack into the shutdown in Victoria. So the market consensus on this is minus 50,000. So, you know, that's going to be interesting to see that one, to see whether it's as soft as that. The expectation is the participation rate will stay at 64.7%, and the unemployment rate will lift to 7.7% from 7.5%. So watching that one just towards the end of the week as time goes on. In Europe, we had some investor confidence data that turned out for September. It was better than expected, minus 8 from minus 13.4. The market was thinking minus 10.5. We also had a revision to Q2 GDP, and pretty weird when, you know, this is looked on as being a positive, but it was revised slightly better to minus 11.8%. From minus 12.1% quarter on quarter. Still a pretty ugly number. We also had the ECB meeting. No changes in monetary policy there except for continued recognition that there will be support, and they'll continue to support any government that wants to expand fiscal policy as well. So coordination of monetary and fiscal policy is still going to be the norm as far as Europe's concerned. We are getting worries in parts of Europe with resurgence of COVID-19. So, you know, there will be some elements of restriction coming back into Europe at times. You know, the number of new cases in France is over 9,000 a day now, and in the United Kingdom is above 3,000 a day. So pretty significant, you know, second wave starting to roar through those particular countries. But it's unlikely they're going to go to full-scale lockdowns. It's going to be pretty limited in what they do to try and get on top of these. Europe this week, we have just some industrial production data still looking pretty good for the month of July, probably up about 4% after being up 9.1% the month before. And the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey for September, it was up to 64 last month, probably a bit higher for September. And the European trade balance, which has been going okay, in trade has been reasonably strong, although with their own worries about their trade relationships with China. Interestingly, the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, will have a face-to-face meeting this week with President Xi of China. So, you know, we may hear some interesting stories out of that one, because, yeah, obviously it's the first time that you know, any major leader of the countries which are experiencing problems with China have actually had any sort of meeting with anybody senior, let alone the president of China. So wait and see what developments come from that. But all told, you know, the economy, despite the diet of bad news stories that come out around COVID and things related to lockdowns and all these sorts of bits and pieces, there are some signs of resilience in some of the economic numbers now extending to Australia, and yeah, it'd be worth watching to see whether those can continue.